You are listening to Critical End episode 51. Logan, I'm kind of depressed that it's Critical End episode 51, only because episode 50, there was such a big build-up. It's like we had a perfect 50 episodes, I feel like, and now adding on to it seems just wrong. I don't know.
Well, Ryan, you got to get excited. This is going to be a great show.
I'm excited. This is like the next... I'd rather call this episode 1 of volume 2 of Critical End or something like that.
Ryan, you got to look at it this way. This is a chance to start anew, you know?
Okay.
This is like the beginning of a fresh new season. We brought in some nice side characters this year.
Screech is back. That's
Screech
good.
Screech is back. Well, he always comes back.
Mr. Belding.
I think it's going to be a better show. But you know what? We can start this this new set of 50, assuming we'll get to 100, off right with a fan question. Is that cool with you?
Oh, I'd love a fan question.
An actual question from a fan about, to us.
You know, we started the old show with absolutely no fans. I mean, I guess
and now we have
that follows. But it's nice to start the new season with some fan mail. Okay, go on.
Okay, so the question is, now this person automatically assumes that we don't eat during the show, which, you know, I don't think I ever have. Have you ever eaten during the show?
I might have eaten a little bit one episode. I do drink during the show. Heavily.
Okay, yes, that's where this question's heading, actually.
Okay.
So assuming we don't actually eat during the show, which we're not going to share about that, because I don't think I ever have. What do we usually drink during the show?
That's a good question.
This is a great question because you know we're funny guys, we're good looking guys, we have great voices. So what keeps our voices
fresh? People want to drink what we drink.
That's exactly right. So you can go ahead and take this, and I'll jump in.
Well, just before we started, I was drinking a Coke Zero, which is kind of my drink of choice. The Zero line of Coca-Cola products, Cherry Coke Zero.
Cherry Coke Zero?
Oh, that's my favorite drink now, Logan.
It's insane, okay.
Vanilla Coke Zero. What's it? Coke Vanilla Zero? Vanilla Coke Zero? Coke Zero? Zero?
You know, when I go home to a major metropolitan city,
uh-huh.
I can find Vanilla Coke everywhere, but here in the town I live in, there's no Vanilla Coke. It doesn't exist.
Yeah, but you get, like, Ski and all those weird drinks where you are. That's cool, too.
Oh, yeah, and Moonshine. Don't forget about Moonshine.
Cheerwine? Any Cheerwine around there?
Oh, Cheerwine, yes. You know, I bought a 2-liter Cheerwine the other day, I thought of you. Remember how Cheerwine had their own brand of, like, Mountain Dew Ski Mellow Yellow?
Do I? Did that
yes, you actually, you found it online.
Oh, right.
Like,
it was like Moon something. Case.
It was, that's what made me think of it when I said the Moonshine thing there.
Oh, hold on. Oh. Cheerwine.com will tell us what's up. Cheerwine's website is called itsasoftdrink.com. I love Cheerwine.
Oh, wait, it's they got that? Wait, hold on, so what's Cheerwine.com?
Oh, this is not what I was hoping for. This would be fine if I wasn't trying to do a podcast at the same time. Okay, wait. Product?
Your volume down at least, okay.
Original cheer wine.
Hey, cheer boring.
Wine. Diet cheer wine. Caffeine-free diet cheer wine. This is all about cheer wine, but where's the other?
Is there cherry cheer wine? Because that'd be kind of funny.
It's already cherry, though.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, you're right. It's hilarious. Cheer wine products. Hold on, here we go. No. That's terrifying. What is this? Savage energy drink? No, Cheerwine, no.
No, that's not it. It was Moon something.
Diet Cheerwine, Noah's spring water. Wow, maybe they don't have it anymore.
Is that like a biblical spring water? What is Noah's spring water?
Yeah. The great thing is you can actually go to It's a Soft Drink. Oh, I'm sorry. This the store apparently is GetSomeCheerwine.com.
Okay.
Confusing branding, Cheerwine.
Get your Cheerwine on .com.
Yeah. Yeah. But apparently you can actually get this cheer wine delivered straight to your door, which is the best thing about it.
Okay. Well,
anyway.
We couldn't find what their citrus drink is, but that leads into a further thing here. But anyway, on my end, so you're saying Coke Zero is your drink of choice is what it comes down to?
Coke Zero, but often I'm worried that I'll, you know, burp during the show, so if I'm worried about that, I'll have some juice, like orange juice or apple juice during the show.
Wow, you put a lot more thought into the whole burp process, I see. Of doing things. Well, I'm usually tonight. I'm actually drinking Hawaiian Punch.
Oh, hey Logan,
which is a big change.
How about,
up, yeah.
Hey Logan, how about hey Logan, how about a Hawaiian? How about a nice Hawaiian Punch?
No thanks. I'm already drinking one.
Oh, okay.
Okay, and then but usually I know this sounds insane, but usually like I'll do something like Mountain Dew, something like with a lot of caffeine. Mm-hmm. On those shows, you can really tell. Or on the more calm shows, like tonight would totally be a green tea night.
You
like,
drink green tea?
I like literally like make myself a nice warm cup of green tea and sit here and do the show with you.
You're kidding me right now.
No, that's totally true.
You drink green tea?
Yes.
I would never have guessed that.
I've been drinking green tea forever, Ryan. How do you think I keep so physically fit?
You're a mess.
We're talking. Well, are we physically or mentally?
Which just emotionally. I mean.
Oh, okay. Obviously. Oh, that's completely different.
Hold on. I didn't know you drink tea.
This. You knew I drink tea. I've been drinking tea forever. At nighttime, I drink sleepy time tea, for all my bed needs.
I don't know what those are.
In the morning, I drink
wakey uppy time tea.
Wakey uppy time tea. Smurf tea.
Mr. Tea. Okay.
Listen, well, along the same lines as Mountain Dew, right? Okay. You were talking about this cheer wine thing, too. Those are my favorite kind of sodas, right? Because back in the day, for us, you know, growing up, those were, like, the original energy drinks.
Okay, right.
We'd have, like, the slumber parties, and we'd drink, you know, get a 2-liter Mountain Dew or Mountain
Yellow. Right, we'd get our Vault and our...
well, it wasn't Vault, it was Surge back then.
Yeah, Surge, that's what I'm thinking of.
Now all those drinks have been replaced with actual energy drinks. But, you know, it's still fun that I still drink those more than anything else, probably. Uh-huh. Well, as I'm sure you're aware, I know you've gone now over towards the diet side, which is, in my opinion, is like an evil side.
The dark side.
Mm-hmm. Yes. But we've always been, really interested in all sorts of new sodas.
Sure.
To the point that my favorite story, of course, having to do with this, is the time we bought cases of expired Pitch Black 2. Which I swear, people, was a sour grape soda.
Right, it was pitch black. It started too, out as like pitch black Mountain Dew, right?
But right, which was grape Mountain Dew.
Which is just grape Mountain Dew.
Came out on Halloween, yeah.
On Halloween. But then the next Halloween, it was just called Pitch Black 2.
Uh-huh,
with no
right.
Mountain Dew moniker in there at all.
And they billed it as sour grape Mountain Dew, which it actually tasted like they just took the Pitch Black 1 left over from last year, mm-hmm. which had probably gone sour. It made us drink that. Anyway, it expired, and we bought cases of it for, like, $1 each.
Well,
nice.
The best part is, like, the first time we had Pitch Black Mountain Dew, we were all like, and then, like, by the end of it, we were like, I think I want another one.
Yeah, I know. To the point that we, you know, we spent money on expired Mountain Dew. Anyway, well, okay, so I'm at work the other day, right? And as a soda fiend, I like to think that I keep up on all this. Like, lately I've been really into Mountain Dew Throwback. It's, like, the greatest drink ever, right?
Well, sure.
It's Mountain Dew with actual sugar in it. Mm-hmm. Well, one of the employees I work with, like, he showed up, and he's, like, drinking Mellow Yellow, but it's Mellow Yellow in, like, this weird retro label, right? Mm. And I instantly get excited. I'm like, Mellow Yellow Throwback? And then I remember that Mountain Dew is Pepsi, so Mellow Yellow is Coke, and Coke hasn't, like, ripped off Pepsi yet, the whole throwback thing.
Right.
It's like, this can't be right. Let me see this. So I take it from him.
Yoink.
And I'm looking at the label, and it's completely retro-looking, right? Mm. It's a completely new design to the Mellow Yellow label, and underneath it says, the original Smooth. Like, well, this doesn't make sense.
They stole my tagline. That's my tagline.
they have the original ingredients here and everything. Like, you know, this seems like the same thing. And he's like, well, hold on. It might actually be a different drink. Maybe they've redesigned it. Like, you know, Mellow Yellow. Maybe Coke finally realized that they can't compete with Mountain Dew because Mountain Dew's been outselling it forever, right?
Okay.
So maybe they just kind of, like, changed the formula around or something. So he takes this big swig of it, and he gets all excited. He's like, they have changed it. This is so awesome, Logan. And so I get super excited. I'm like, well, there's this whole new soda out there. I haven't even tried, right? Mm-hmm. And it costs $1 to get a soda from the machine. Well, I don't have $1. I'm so excited about this ride. I actually bum $1 from somebody to get this new Mellow Yellow.
On the streets.
I run on the streets. I did a little tap dance number and some fire. Then I run the machine. I buy my Mellow Yellow. I'm so super excited. It has this awesome new label and everything, right? I go to drink it. I pretty much, like, chug it. That's how excited I am. It's the exact same damn taste. Like, they really did just change the label, and I completely fell for this. I'm like, I went back to the guy. I was like, when's the last time you had Mellow Yellow exactly? And the thing is, I really don't like Mellow Yellow that much either.
Why are you so excited then?
It was, I was hoping they changed it, made it awesome.
I guess that makes sense.
Great. I'm not drinking Mellow Yellow during this podcast. But that's my, I'm a soda connoisseur, Ryan.
Oh, I know. I would get the Pepsi Throwback or the, I guess they do Mountain Dew Throwback, right?
Yes, and right. It's also in really cool retro labels. It's this little, it's like this hillbilly guy opening a jug, and the plug of the jug is shooting through his hat. That's how Crazy Mountain Dew is.
It's amazing. I would get it, except I haven't seen it in just like, you know, a 20-ounce bottle or a can, because I would get that and have it once. But I don't want to get a 6-pack or a liter, because I normally drink diet drinks.
Well, they don't sell a liter of it. They do sell 20-ounce bottles. I've seen them at stores.
Okay.
But you know what, Ryan? I always have cases of this stuff around, so I will save you a Mountain Dew Throwback.
Yes, you need to
I would send it to you, but it'd probably explode in the mail, and they'd come arrest me.
It's too extreme to go through the mail.
Oh, of course. You couldn't. Anyway, on the same lines, Mountain Dew also has 3 new flavors out now. I'm sure you've seen. There's there's Mountain Dew Typhoon, which swears to be a typhoon in your mouth.
Of course.
There's Mountain Dew, I forget, I think it has a non-exciting, it's like Mountain Dew Lime, which is like Mountain Dew of Russia Lime, right?
That's
haven't tried that. I've tried Typhoon. Typhoon actually tastes like carbonated Hawaiian punch.
No, hold on, doesn't Mountain Dew already have some lime in it?
Yeah, I would think so. Well, it's citrus, so yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, but you know, with a rush of lime now, okay. Right? And then there's my abs, and they all these explain the taste. You know, Mountain Dew Typhoon underneath it says with a rush of like punch or something like that,
okay.
With a rush of lime. And then there's the new one I have yet to try, Mountain Dew Whiteout, and underneath it says nothing at all. Is this just literally like Whiteout in a can? What is this exactly?
Mountain Dew with a rush of cow semen.
So I was about to now with added milk. I was going to like I was about to buy this one. And then my girlfriend pointed out that it was most likely just Mountain Dew with the color removed. So it's actually like crystal clear Pepsi.
Is it clear or white?
Well, I haven't actually seen it yet. See, I haven't actually seen a 20-ounce. All you know, all I've seen was the 12-ounce or the 12-pack of cans.
Okay.
So I'll let you listeners know when I finally get around to trying this one. Sorry,
I'm imagining you buy this and it's just like viscous, it's like pancake batter. You have to like no, shake it out of the can.
Puffy tasting. Oh, it's that Typhoon in my mouth now.
I wish I had a Typhoon in my mouth.
I did not mean to derail the whole show. But listener, that answers your question right there.
Yeah.
About drink during the show. Kind of, I guess. I don't even know what I said I drink.
I have eaten during the show only maybe once. I forget what it was. It was something that I thought was quiet enough to eat. I was hungry, I guess. I mean, I was more hungry enough to not wait till after the show. I don't know what it was, though.
Well, Ron, here's okay, I have a question for the show.
Okay.
And this is a movie relay. Okay, for instance, the two movies we saw tonight that we're going to review are very popcorn films, wouldn't you agree?
Yeah.
Okay, so what do you actually eat at movie theaters when you see in these movies?
Deviled eggs.
You don't actually, no, okay, we've had this conversation
oh,
show before.
Yeah, we've done that in the show before, haven't we?
Do you, because you've asked me, I mean, well, you haven't asked me, like, you know, I always toss out, like, I always buy, like, the big thing of popcorn when I can.
Right. Now, do you just buy popcorn or candy, too?
Well, I buy candy, too, and it depends on who I'm with, because usually the other person will, like, chip in, they want something as well, and that's when the candy usually comes into play.
Sure.
You know, the salty chocolate, like, flit thing goes well together.
Right.
So, I, you know, I like the cookie dough bites. You eat, like, four of them, and you're like, oh,
yeah.
Those things are good.
And then you keep eating those.
There's not, oh, you do. There's not many theaters left that have Junior Mints anymore, but they're my all-time favorites.
Is that rare where you are?
Yeah, it's kind of hard to come by now. Well, you know, this is no secret. Like, where I'm at has actually just now become, like, a Carmike town, if anything.
Okay.
What's your big chain that you have?
AMC.
AMC, yeah. I remember when I went down to Florida, I'd see AMCs everywhere.
And they have the Junior Mints, which I just got, you know, yesterday, and I didn't even realize it, but it was a Junior Mints XL, Logan. Which is just slightly more Junior Mints, but still.
Okay, I'll say, what does that imply?
It wasn't like a one giant Junior Mint, which is what I was hoping it was.
which you know, sometimes happens patty. If you leave the box in the car too long
it
or something.
Does. Remember, I think, was I with you where we went to a theater and I needed to go out to the convenience stand to get a fork for my Junior Mints because they were so incredibly like, melted?
Well, what happens is they put them in that display thing, which is under the hot lights.
Yeah.
And then you order them, you never think they'll hand you that one, but they usually do. And you're like, oh, thanks, I guess.
Right.
But possibly the Junior Mint company, which I forget who owns them. It might be Tootsie Roll people. They might have a deal now with AMC where it's exclusive there. Because I miss them. If you hear me, Junior Mint people, bring them back to Logan.
Hmm. Well, yeah, Junior Mints are our go-to for me. They've been have been forever. Bunch of Crunch is also great. And I do like the Squirms sometimes as well.
yes.
Milk Duds, too.
70s movie.
And Reese's Pieces.
Oh, yeah, those are good, too.
And all candy.
So you're more, yeah, just candy in general is
yeah.
What comes with you? Okay, awesome. Well, do you get any, besides, you know, your fictional deviled eggs, do you get any non-candy related items?
Well, you know, I've been known to eat dinner at the movie theater on decadent occasions.
And I have been known to bum off you when you get, like, a huge plate of nachos or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, I'll get the nachos. I will sometimes get a hot dog. Not both, you know, one or the other. But, you know, I can, you know, a pretzel. They have really great gourmet pretzels at these AMC theaters.
Do they have, like, condiments to go with them that are
Well, here's
good?
What you do.
Okay.
You go in there, you're like, hey.
Ryan Sidney.
Ask
I just had a typhoon in my mouth.
Ask for Carl. No, you go in there and you get, like, the Parmesan gourmet pretzel, Logan.
Okay.
So that's already good enough. But then you're like, I'd like
this
to
is
get... Great.
Really? Okay.
I'd like
I imagine like a buffet now of pretzels.
It's a pretty nice, swanky place. You get that, though, and then you're like, I'd also like the, you know, one of the dipping things for the nachos. Like, you get the cheese. And they'll charge you, like, a dollar for it or something. But you get
okay.
that, and then you can dip your pretzel in the cheese, and it's very good.
And then you say with a side of deviled eggs, correct?
With
and
some deviled
say,
eggs.
Oh, I'm sorry, sir. Please stop coming.
I have filled out comment card after comment card.
Why most upset, there... no fatties, but there's this deviled egg issue, too.
And the fatty issue. They're both real.
Do you eat like this when other people go view the theater?
No.
Just out of curiosity. Do you have them hold all your snacks for you while you... Well, like, next.
If I'm with somebody, you know, maybe we'll go in on popcorn or something, because I normally don't get popcorn, but I do enjoy it anyway. But I don't usually... No, if I'm eating a meal at the theater, I'm only doing it when I'm alone and sad, not with somebody else.
I eat to fill the loneliness of my heart.
I eat to fill the hole in my face where food
okay.
goes.
Well, did you see this movie alone? Because I actually saw this movie with like 20 people.
I saw it with one friend.
Okay, awesome.
Yes, he was fictional.
So, okay, yeah, that's right. He filled out a deviled eggs comic card.
If anyone asks, he tripped.
That's right. So, Clash of the Titans, Ryan.
Yeah.
The second one, the new one, we got to see in theaters, but the original, we had to actually sit at home by our lonesomes and watch. Good luck trying to talk a girl into watching that movie with you, by the way.
Gave that a shot?
It's a sword and sandals film from the 80s. It's like, next.
It's the only sword and sandals film from the 80s?
You watch it and you kind of think it should have been made in the 60s.
Next.
Maybe they just forgot about it then. Next.
You're wondering why it's not dubbed from Italian? But it isn't.
George Reeves should have been in it.
Yeah, exactly.
Next.
Well,
who? George who? What are you even talking about now?
Christopher Reeve? Anyone? Okay.
So the original Clash of the Titans, right? 1981.
Steve Reeves. George Reeves was super.
Yeah, Steve Reeves. No, George Reeves was okay, yeah.
Okay. But anyway, yeah, that's a good intro, because if you've seen these sword and sandal movies like Hercules or Sinbad from, you know, the...
the stand-up.
The Waybacks, yeah. Men and women sure, be different.
Sure. Jason the Argonauts.
Jason the Argonauts. You will get an idea of what they're going for with this 80s version of that kind of thing, except rather than... Well, I guess it's the same. Yeah, it's the same era of mythology. It's Zeus and all those good Greco-Roman folks.
It's the same special effects guy behind the whole, too.
Which is weird. Yeah, Ray Harryhausen. This is his last film.
Now, who's still alive, I'd like to point out.
Is he?
Yes, he is totally still alive.
Like,
he actually has produced several documentaries about himself.
Oh, okay.
Which is not a pretentious move. That sounds pretentious when I say it that way. No, he's still alive. He just retired after that movie.
Hmm.
It was also the first movie where he actually had people helping him and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I think let's start off by, it's important to point out this movie did come out in 1981, and all those other movies we just talked about that he did were in the late 50s, early 60s, right?
Right.
So this is a bit odd, Ryan, because watching this movie, I really did feel like it had been shelved for 20 years and finally just released in 1981.
Yeah, it looks like it. If not for, you know, the Ursula Andress and, like, all the weird 80s stars that are in it, or actually late 70s when they filmed it.
Yeah, it was actually shelved for 2 years, I think.
Yeah, you wouldn't have assumed that it was filmed so recently. I mean, even the effects, like Ray Harryhausen's effects, well, here's the thing, it's actually a little bit weird because his stop-motion-y, you know, effects, which he's famous for, are really great in the movie.
Oh, yeah, they're amazing.
But it's got some of the worst mats in film history.
Yes, it totally does. My favorite being, I think it's Poseidon, who's when he's under the sea about to release the Kraken.
Yeah.
And you really see him, like, whatever lever he's going to pull really stand out.
Yeah.
He's, like, walking over to it.
Because the mat is, like, the camera's shaking on the mat, and it's not shaking. It's, like, it's just stock footage.
I'd like to point out that him being underwater is also just the fan blowing on him, too.
Right. Yeah. They're not, the compositing is just not great. But I don't know if Harry has anything to do with that. But his actual stop-motion stuff is very impressive.
Yes.
I got off on a side tangent there. Sorry.
No. Okay. So this movie comes out in 1981, Ryan, okay?
Mm-hmm. What's it about, Logan?
Well, okay, there's this, Perseus, okay?
Okay.
I'll try to do a general what's it about for both films.
Okay.
It's pretty
Well, it's a little dissimilar.
Well, they do change some things up. Okay, well, we'll just cover the first film, right. I guess. So Perseus is the son of Zeus, who snuck into Perseus' mom's room one night, Ryan.
Sure.
As this shower of gold.
Right.
And this is, I'm not making this up. And he's like, hey, baby, I'm a shower of gold, let's get out. She's like, well, I was doing nothing else, you know, three...
I do like to fuck showers of gold.
That's right. What can I say?
guilty.
So Perseus learns how to ride a horse in his early days really well. We learn this through a montage of him growing up. The horse stays the same age, I believe. So Perseus grows up. I forget what he does in the original one now.
Do you want me to tell about
so, him? Yeah, does he ride horses all day?
Yeah, that's basically it.
Is he a fisherman in that one, too?
It's not real. His occupation is not given in the original one. Well, here's the important thing to know is that his father found out that, you know, his wife had this kid that wasn't his. I'm not really knowing it was Zeus's, I don't think, in the original. And cast his wife and daughter out to die, and son, to die out in the ocean. But, of course, being Perseus being all half-god and not realizing it, He totally survived, and
well, actually, she survived too, because in the original, he's like,
"Oh,
I cast them out
too.
There, but guide them to a safe shore for me."
That's true. That's true. Zeus was looking over them, being like, "Well, my son is, you know, got
to watch out
for Perseus." So anyway, everything is okay until Maggie Smith shows up. First of all, we should say that Perseus is like Harry Hamlin, who's done other things, but I don't know a lot of them. But Zeus is Sir Laurence Olivier, Logan.
Yes.
Who in such a weird, like, why is he in this movie? But, you know, well, giving it all he's got.
Like, and everyone else, though, I think he thought he was making a totally different movie. I feel the director just told each actor a different thing.
Yeah.
Because I feel like there's several times Laurence Olivier says a line completely weird. But at the same time, he was Laurence Olivier. He could say a line however he wanted to, I'm sure.
I have a whole theory behind why he and Maggie Smith are in this movie, but I'll get to that in a second.
Okay, go for it.
But anyway, Maggie Smith, who is also great, is... Oh, I forget. I have it in front of me. Thetis. She's another god, and she's upset because her son never got any special treatment from Zeus, because her son is also sort of a heretic or whatever. But so she gets all pissed when Zeus curses her son to look all ugly and not be able to marry his princess.
Which, I don't blame him, because Zeus, like, rattles off this whole list of, like, crap the guy did to everybody.
He killed most of the Pegasuses.
Yes, right, exactly.
What are you going to do?
There's a Pegasus Holocaust, Ryan.
Hey.
And no one showed up.
And it was not televised.
No.
So anyway, the idea is that, basically, the whole movie is Zeus trying to help Perseus kill, Kevin?
I don't know. I can tell. Calibus. I can point at who's who, but I couldn't. Yeah, the names are beyond me.
So Calibus is Maggie Smith's son. So Thetis' son. So it's Zeus trying to help Perseus defeat Calibus and get Andromeda, who's the princess. And Maggie Smith keeps trying to help Calibus because she's her daughter, or she's
her son, and
also she doesn't like anybody who hangs around that town anyway.
He's not really trying to defeat that guy, because doesn't he like have a chance? He just cuts his hand off. He's like, eh, that'll do.
Well, he's got to defeat him in the sense that he's going to steal his girl.
Also, the guy isn't after the girl so much. The girl's turned over pretty much. They're like, listen, if you want to keep this girl alive, you're going to have to do this whole thing. Otherwise, we're going to sacrifice her to the Kraken. Actually, I don't think he's given an option. I think it's just, we're going to sacrifice your girlfriend to the Kraken at this time.
It's true.
So Perseus just goes on a mission then. I don't think this Calibus guy really comes into play much. It's a really sloppy movie, if you can't tell.
Well, it is. But, you know, the driving sort of, at least initiating force, is Maggie Smith versus Zeus, and they're using their little human pawns to get each other. Like, Maggie Smith sort of shows up and stops the wedding of Perseus and Andromeda after he's able to get Andromeda, and she's like, ah, fuck you guys, I'm sending the Kraken after you. So that's...
Right, and you'd think Zeus wouldn't allow that, but go ahead.
I know, Zeus has a shockingly little control over these gods.
In this original film, it's true.
But anyway, so the last half of the movie is Perseus going off to find... going on a quest to defeat, essentially, the Kraken before the Kraken comes and kills Andromeda, and they can all live happily ever after, and the gods sort of help and hurt him along the way.
Yes, exactly right.
What'd you think?
It's not good.
Okay.
But this is completely what my girlfriend was right, what can I say? This is completely what you expect going into this film. It's the only thing that really drives it, that makes it good, are the special effects, but even those at times get... I think tedious might be the correct word here, because they have this great story, Ryan. There's some great, elegant moments of the story. Like, amazing cast, right? Who's pretty much just chewing scenery, if anything, but still amazing cast. And then they say, you know what? We have this great cast and a pretty decent, great story here from classic literature,
including Burgess Meredith, by the way.
Also in a different movie too.
Right.
Why don't we throw a mechanical owl into it and spice things up? That's
so
C-3PO. Everyone loved him a few years back. Let's just do this.
Uh-huh.
And I have no clue why he's in the movie. And I don't know. I really feel like this was just made to be Ray's like last special effects film, because the entire cast is pretty much just doing reaction shots for like the 157-minute runtime or whatever, like that 157-minute, an hour and 57-minute runtime.
It's true. It's very weird. It's sort of like... they purposely are doing a Sword and Sandals movie, whereas the thing with the Sword and Sandals movies was always that they were kind of long and boring and all about the effects. I guess they're like, well, I guess we'll do that again, but the effects don't quite carry it. I don't know. It's sort of...
I think someone should step in and be like, it's the 80s, guys.
Yeah, that's what confuses me. You would think they would have learned.
Here's a big thing for me about this, okay? Really, seriously, Ryan, like 3 years before this, perhaps, might have been maybe four, Star Wars had come out.
Right.
And Star Wars, like, reset the whole special effects arena here, okay?
Right.
Like, they realized there's all this cool new stuff we could do with special effects in Star Wars. So why do we go back to Claymation for this movie?
Well, it's Ray Harryhausen. You have to do that.
No, hold on. No, I like that. Don't get me wrong and everything. But this, like, I really feel like this movie just came out the wrong time period.
Yeah, I mean, it looks
even
like
if I'd seen this and someone had told me it was from the 60s, I might have liked it better. Mm-hmm. But for what it is, this movie sucks then and it sucks now. I can see why it was never, ever a huge hit. And I can see why people claim they love it. Mm-hmm. I think it's just one of those, like, if I'd been 8 years old and I saw this movie, it probably would have been the greatest thing of all time.
Well, here's the thing. I agree with you, but I'm not as hard on it because I think I really embrace
I'm not coming down super hard. I'm just tossing words around like suck.
Okay.
And,
but I embrace the cheesiness of this movie. It's sort of like I have this weird theory that I started developing as I was watching it, where it's like if you have it takes a special kind of acting talent to play this role well, a role in this movie. And I think Olivier and Maggie Smith both did it and so did Burgess Meredith and got away with it. I started thinking like anybody. There are many people who can play Hamlet. As difficult as playing Hamlet is, right? It's one of like the hardest, most challenging, Mel Gibson,
right,
acting roles around, right? But Olivier is like known as like the best Hamlet, right? So it's hard, but it takes an almost completely different, and I would say almost superior skill to play a role like this in a cheesy movie and be completely believable that you're convicted, like you believe everything you're saying, as like incredibly goofy as it is. And that to me is really fun to watch.
I almost don't want to give those actors credit for that though, because they're already good. I mean, it's just like taking a good actor and putting them in a crappy movie. They're still going to be a good actor, so I can't give them movie points for that.
But it's not like I'm giving the movie points. It's just it's really fun to watch them do that when it's like you know they had like one take because it's like well I'm going to just do it. I don't care.
Yeah.
And they,
if this movie is really fun to watch for any reasons, one, the special effects are actually fun to watch, but two, because it's so bad. It's like, the cheesiness level alone will get you through it. This is like grade A cheese, Ryan.
Oh, yeah. American.
This is like serious cheese. And because of that, I can't give it like an actual movie. I can't even give this like a mediocre rating, which would be like a 5. Mm-hmm. But I will give it the base, which is a 4.
The base?
It's right down there at the bottom. It's trying to be a 5, you know? And it really is just because the special effects are very lovable.
Gotcha.
But even then, it came out in the wrong time period for that. So I can't, you know, that doesn't push the movie up high enough to give it at least, you know, like a 3 out of 5 or to recommend to anybody at all.
You know, the minute that the wacky robotic owl shows up,
oh,
that makes no sense at all, I'm like, this movie is just, it's too goofy not to love. So I really enjoyed it. I agree with the fact that it's not good, but I enjoy it from a cult perspective. But I gave it a 5 because it's not a great film. But in terms of like, you know, just enjoying all the weird little periphery stuff that goes on in it, I definitely liked it.
I can't even see this as a cult film. I don't know. It never even tries to actually be good, I feel like. And I don't know, somewhere along the line, something went wrong here. But, however, Ryan, now, I can see, you think Sword and Sandals nowadays in a film, you think gritty and hardcore action, like heavy metal soundtrack, right?
Sure, Gladiator changed it up, right?
You think gritty, hardcore, I mean, you think, like, Sword and Sandals, in the 80s, you think really short skirts on guys.
Sure.
Bad hair on the women, and that movie had all that. Like, it didn't quite, I never quite figured out why he had this, like, epic, mop top of a hairdo.
So awesome though. And he's just like Harry Hamlin just walks around looking like the dumbest guy in the world the whole
like
movie.
He is the ultimate to me. He was the ultimate like schmuck action hero.
Exactly.
And that's like really, and it doesn't work for the movie or anything, I don't think, but that's the whole thing. I guess maybe according to you I like took this movie a little too seriously.
Apparently, yeah.
But I can't I can't sit here and tell you it's a good movie though.
It's not a good movie.
So because that's it's a 4 still.
Okay.
But I can look at this movie and say, okay, someone could totally make this an awesome remake.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'll go ahead and say they didn't totally make it an awesome remake, but they made an awesome remake for what it's worth. If you had to like take this exact story and beef it up a little bit, they did all that. Step one was get rid of the mechanical owl. but remember that enough people liked it from their childhood to kind of reference it.
Which is great.
Which was great, yes. Okay, but let's get into this remake now, okay? What story elements are changed here? I want to say, first of all, that actually, in this one, I feel like Titans actually clash, Ryan.
Okay.
This is really, for the first time, I really feel like the Titans are actually, like, kind of going against each other. While before, Maggie Grace is like, I'll just kind of go behind his back, because he is Laurence Olivier, after all.
Maggie Smith? Yeah. I don't know. I feel like there was less the God against God stuff.
This was more of a, we're not going to, like, we're not going to go against what the mortals are doing. Like, it's obvious this and the mortals really hate the gods. Like, it opens to them tearing down this huge statue to Zeus.
Oh, yeah.
And then what happens is, I guess, Hades, correct, in this one?
Yeah, Hades is not in the original, yeah.
Right, Hades, but I thought this was brilliant. Hades shows up, he's like, listen, he totally plays this against him. He's like, Zeus, do you see what they're doing to you? Mm-hmm. So he kind of, like, eggs on Zeus to do this, and Zeus, of course, realizes that he has his son and everything down there. And, like, I feel like this was actually Titans clashing. This is kind of what I wanted for. And plus, if you had to get two actors to kind of fill in the shoes, then the two in the remake are worth it, I think.
It's true. Like, Ralph Fiennes is a good Hades, you know. I mean, he's super over, like, everybody is super overdoing it, but that's what I wanted, because after liking the original for its cheesiness, I was like, I hope they don't take all the cheese out of it. And I don't know if they meant to or not, but this movie is the updated version of the same kind of cheesy, bombastic, over-the-top goofiness.
It's what we've come to realize is an update, which is a lot easier on the eyes, first of all. And also a lot easier as far as pacing and easier to watch in general.
Yeah, it's much better.
But
it's
from the moment Liam Neeson in the trailer said, release the Kraken, I kind of knew what to expect from the acting in this one.
I watched with a friend, and we were both like, I was hoping there'd be more release the Kraken. They only said it twice.
I don't even remember them saying twice. I remember in the first one, he's like, he says something, Laurence Olivier says something incredibly not exciting around that time. And then later on in the movie, he's released the Kraken. But it's kind of depressed. He's like, fine, release the Kraken. Well, on this, it's like a quick zoom in on Liam Neeson as he turns to the camera and says, release the Kraken!
Right, yeah, it's sort of the same thing the first time, where he's like, if we must, we will unleash the Kraken. But, you know, but then later he's like, release the Kraken! Yes. So, but the difference being in this new one, that they sort of combine a couple characters. It's much more about Perseus trying to take down the gods than it is him trying to win any kind of hand. In fact, the romance is completely changed up.
Right, but this is all good, I think, once again. I think Percy has now actually become more of a human character. He's more flawed. This actually gives him a chance to have emotions. Mm. There's a lot of good things here. He doesn't spend 15 minutes in the movie talking to his trainer and trying to tame a horse or something like that.
Right. But it is still incredibly, like, incredibly wooden dialogue, completely unbelievable, super over-the-top, bombastic.
I have to pull rank and say, completely unbelievable, Ryan, come on, what is this movie about? I mean,
everybody's motivations are unbelievable.
Okay.
Completely, like, everybody is chewing scenery left and right, which is what I wanted based on the original, so
they're
ended up enjoying it. What?
They're just now doing it on a green screen, if anything.
Exactly.
Is there scenery to chew on a green screen?
You can chew virtual scenery. Yeah, okay. I think that's allowed. You can chew bits. We have to have a new word.
Don't swallow, because you'll get sick.
I know. I had that happen once. No, but the only thing I would say is I don't know if Liam Neeson was the perfect choice. He was good, but, like, who is the modern-day Olivier who is, like...
But I don't think they were going for that.
Who can do no wrong.
No one looked at this movie and said, let's get Laurence Olivier. For what it's worth, no one should look to the first movie and said that. I mean,
it makes sense. He should play Zeus in a better movie.
Yeah, in a better movie, correct. Yeah, but not in Clash of the Titans. But Liam Neeson works for me, because, I don't know, he's always fun. He's kind of changed up his career ever since Taken. Mm-hmm. But anyway, it's the casting. I don't have anything wrong with the casting of this movie.
Sam Worthington's good as Perseus.
I feel like Sam Worthington actually got to be the pissed-off character I've always wanted him to be. Mm-hmm. Well, and everything else, like, in both Avatar and, like, Terminator Salvation, he just plays this sort of confused guy who stumbles into the events.
Oh, I forgot he was in Avatar.
Well, yeah, I know, seriously. Well, in this movie, I feel like he's more... Well, it's because in both those movies, Ryan, the movie's kind of outshone. You know, like, Avatar's bigger than him.
Yeah.
And then Terminator was like, ooh, a new Terminator movie, which is also bigger than him. But for him, for this movie, I feel like it actually is the same word, the same vehicle. He gets a chance to be really mad about everything. He knows exactly what's going on this time, and he hates it all. Mm-hmm. Which is good. I like that. And also, the movie, it really comes across as, like, you know, the poor man's Lord of the Rings. It even has, like, the goofy side characters who show up every now and then.
Yeah.
But it helps it, I think. It moves the movie along quicker. The effects are fun. The Kraken is actually epic this time.
There are giant scorpions.
The giant scorpions are cool. Also, a throwback to the first one as well. Mm-hmm. Everything's just amped up. It's like the original Mountain Dew. Not the new Mel Yellow stuff, Ryan. Mountain Dew.
Yeah.
The witches are even improved. Improvements all around, but that still does not make a better movie. It just makes more of an enjoyable popcorn film.
Exactly.
And not like a terrible movie, kind of like the first one.
Right, but it didn't soil the legacy or anything. Like, I was impressed with what it did based on the original. It was a worthy attempt at remaking it. And, I mean, whether they meant to or not, it also did honor to the cheese factor of the original. So
yes.
I enjoyed that. And also, okay, my same theory, and I'm not going to pretend like I knew this guy's name before, I just looked it up now, but Pete Postlethwaite, the guy who plays his father, who dies early on in the movie.
Lots of stuff, right. Yeah,
he's in everything. And he is the same kind of actor I'm talking about, like Maggie Smith or Olivier, where it's like, this guy is just always good. Like, if you just need someone who's good in your stupid movie to, like, fill this part and make it believable, this guy will just always play it off.
Yes, and you need someone like that, too, because this is a character who dies at the beginning.
Right.
And motivates our character. While we don't have anything like that, I don't even remember what happened to his mom.
She dies off camera. We don't even really know if she dies. We don't see her for a while, and then he makes some remark of, like, oh, it was my mother's last wish to do this.
Well, it's so stupid, though. He's like, I mean, we haven't even met the character in the first one. He falls asleep and wakes up in someplace different, and then the movie starts.
Right.
Well, in this one, like, the character's actually pushed into these events. He doesn't want to be there. That's when he learns more about himself. Like, I feel like they clean up a lot of the flaws. Other things like that, too, is the fight with Medusa in the first film is totally not exciting at all, because, you know, it's like, oh, walking into the fight, they're just like, oh, use your shield as a mirror. I'm like, okay, fine. Mm-hmm. I guess that's the solution to that. Well, in this one, the characters have to kind of discover that, and that makes it all the better, I think.
Yeah.
But once again, that does not make this a super great movie or anything. I don't want to. I guess I'm leaning more towards this one because I did have a better time watching this one.
Yeah, I definitely had a better time. It's much less boring. But it
does seem kind of choppy. This is definitely going to be one of those director's cut films, I think.
Yeah, and also didn't Sam Worthington say when they did reshoots? Didn't he say we went back and added more gods? I feel like he said that, and I don't. There were only like two. There were fewer gods in the original.
Well, there's several gods we see,
but
like,
around.
They just kind of stand around. I don't know if they might have actually done something at some point. I get the feeling this film was toned down overall.
Possible.
Really funny Sam Worthington thing is he'd never seen the original when he got the part, so he went back to watch it, and he went to the director and he said, if you put this owl in the movie at all, I will leave the movie. I refuse to do anything with the owl. So he got on this all in 2 weeks ago, entertainment? No, last week's entertainment. Weekly. So he gets on the set and he sees the mechanical owl, right, Ryan?
Mm-hmm.
And the director explains what he wants to do in this scene, and he absolutely refuses to do it. He says, you're going to ruin my whole career if I have to do one scene in this mechanical owl at all. And finally, like, listen, you know, this is one thing for the fans of the first one. And the director ends up telling him that it might not actually make it in the film, so they want to see if it try it out and see if it works in the testing. And apparently it did, because that's, that really is just a straight nod to the fans.
Honestly, when he just picks up the owl briefly and is like, what's this? And I was actually, I went in the theater, I went, yes! I was, like, so hoping they would take that along, because at this point it's like...
Oh, God!
First of all, I wanted to see what they would do with it, if they would change it up. But it's like...
It would explode the first scene, is what they would do it.
Yeah, but because I was enjoying it so cheesily, I was, like, I completely was all for it. But then they just kind of toss it aside, and I was disappointed. Honestly, it would have been stupid if they brought it along. But I was sort of disappointed, like, but I loved the nod to it, so I thought that
was perfect. Yeah, no, it's awesome, though, because the guy, like, he steps, it really is the lines, like, listen, we just made this movie hardcore. Because he's like, it's rubbish, leave it here. And you're like, okay, then he just tosses it back in the pile of rubbish.
Well, it's great because it happens right before they're like, what do we bring to fight these gods? He's like, bring everything. And then it's
right.
What about this owl? Don't bring that.
You read the Sam Worthington line, just like Owen Wilson would or something like that. What about this owl I found here? Can I bring that?
Why do I go over here? Jason's not over here. Yeah, so anyway, it's cheesy, stupid popcorn fun. I gave it a 6. I liked it 1 star more than the original in terms of watchability. But it definitely does the original right in a remake sense.
Right. I will agree if you would, but I up it to 6 as well. But I'm upping it for my 4, so I'm going like 2 steps up there.
Okay.
It's definitely a 6, but I think you're right. It does. I think if you're a fan of the original, you will like this in a way. Mm. As long as you're okay if it not being the original, which is a good thing in my opinion. And I think if you're not okay with that, something's wrong with you. You got to realize that movie needs to change. I'll just come out and say it. But anyway, there's a lot to like here. And if if you need to burn some time in the movie theater, here's a good movie to see, I think.
Yeah, and I didn't see it in 3D, but I almost sort of wish I did.
Well, no, I was about to go into that. Ignore the 3D with this, because this was not a movie that was meant to be in 3D at all anywhere in the making of it process.
No.
Basically what happened was Avatar came out, became the biggest movie of all freaking time, And the guys at Warner Brothers said, listen, we have this other movie. The guy from Avatar, why don't we convert it really quick? So they just converted the film. That's all they did. Mm-hmm. Nothing in this movie was meant to be in 3D at all. So I was very happy seeing it in 2D the way the director originally intended.
Yeah, that's fair. I will usually take that choice, but in this case, it was so... I prefer 3D as a gimmick. It almost looked like it would be well served as a gimmick in this movie. But yeah, if it wasn't intended, it probably wouldn't have worked. So, but anyway,
there it is.
Yeah,
Titans clashing, Ryan. Episode number 51.
I always like a remake that I actually enjoy. That's always a good feeling.
Mm-hmm. This is, and I also the opposite of that feeling kind of is the. When you watch a movie like Last House on the Left, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're like, this can only go up.
Right, exactly.
And so then you're excited about the remake where you weren't before. You were just like, You know, we do so many of these that sometimes we go see a movie, it's pretty much the exact same movie almost.
Yeah, like Brothers.
Actually, I was about to pull Brothers, exactly. Where it looks like they just took the original script and they just Americanized the, they stuck American actors in it and everything. But
Right. Who
knows? We have another remake coming up soon, Ryan. One that I wasn't excited about at first, and I still shouldn't be excited about, but I'm kind of getting excited about.
Oh, gosh. Is it
Nightmare on Elm Street.
Nightmare on Elm Street. Yeah, I'm excited about it. I'm going to accept Jackie Earle Haley's weird face. I mean, I guess he looks more like a burn victim than Freddy Krueger did, as somebody pointed out to me. But I'll accept that. I'm willing to even go so far as to accept his Sling Blade accent and just sort of take this movie as it comes and see how it goes.
Well, this was a series that, from far back, I was like, you know, they really need to take this back to its roots and make it a lot darker. And despite the fact that the trailer is nothing but scenes from the original, like shot by shot, mm-hmm. The director claims that there's going to be no jokes at all. It's just going to be straight, like, Freddy is a killer and he's a scary man. Well, but, you know, it reached the point where you were actually rooting for Freddy. The same thing with the Jason movies, you know, those movies are fun. And then, somewhere along maybe, like, 3 or 4, you realized you wanted all the good characters to die. Like,
well,
you
sure.
wanted the villain to win. I guess that's what makes those 80s horror movies unique in a way.
And you know he wasn't actually going to win, so it's kind of depressing?
Yeah, it's true.
But
you know he'd be coming
back, but they're going to probably cut his head off at the end.
He'll find some way to put it back, even if it's on backwards.
That's right. Anyway, Logan, should we talk about critical-end.com?
Yes, we should. Now, I know a lot of you, I won't name names, Steve, I know a lot of you aren't going to the website. Now, here's why you should, because
okay. We
just put some awesome deleted scenes, Ryan,
mm-hmm.
from episode number 50. You might remember this one before, that was a lot better.
Yeah.
On the website. So that's the only place you can get them. Am I correct in saying that, by the way?
That's absolutely correct. They're not in the podcast feed, and they are two little montages of us saying funny things from the past 50 episodes that we did not have time for in the 50th episode show. So go check it out.
They were so awesome that they could not make it in the show.
That's true. It would up the awesome factor so much that...
And the awesome factors are already maxed out.
At an hour and 20 minutes, it was pushing it to try to get those in already. Although I did have a friend tell me that this is the guy who wrote in us saying that, you know, he listened to us while running and then throws up.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently he listened to the 50th episode while running, and actually it wasn't over when he was done with his run, which was unusual, so he actually sat and finished listening to it, which he normally doesn't do, like just sit and listen to a podcast. So apparently that was high praise.
I thought you were going to say that we actually made him work out 20 minutes longer than usual.
Oh, that would have been better.
Which would have been a lot better, see? So, and why don't you just switch that story up and post?
All right, I'll edit it up, don't worry.
Okay, thanks.
But anyway...
Also iTunes.
Yeah.
I'm sure you're getting this from there anyway. We're on Twitter now. You can Facebook fan us.
Absolutely.
What else can they possibly do to us, Ryan, that would be legal?
They could write a review for us on iTunes. That would help people find the show.
Yeah, that's good. Like the guy who threw us up and he listens to us.
Yeah, like that guy. That's the main thing, I think. Yeah, we're Critical End, all one word, on Twitter, if you're looking for that. We don't have a link on the site yet, so I should do that.
But if you're going to our awesome site... Then send us some questions, like
yeah.
We had earlier in the show. We like stuff, random stuff like that. Also, suggestions for what you might want to hear.
Yeah.
And just, it's a great place to be. You know, Ryan, next time I'm bored, I think I'll go there.
No, oh, I wouldn't. It's not that great.
Oh, really? Okay.
I'm kind of
that was your Watchmen voice.
Not that great. Dog carcass. Anyway, so until next week, Logan, I'm going to cut your head off with this giant sword that was given to me by Zeus.
And I'm Logan.
Music by Kevin MacLeod.
Seriously, I'm gonna cut your head off.
Can I make a phone call first?
Sure.
Like, call my mom, tell her how much I love her.
Well, make it quick.
Okay. Oh, did you change your mind?
Me?
Yeah.
No, I'm still gonna cut your head off. Just
okay. Let me just start the car up first here.
Okay.
Okay, now I'm just gonna give a little bit of gas.
Right? Yeah, you have to make sure it's working.
Okay. See you, sucker!
Oh, but... Always fall for that.
Hey, Ryan.
Hey, why'd you push your car down the hill like that?
I am. How about your sword?
Sure. Here you go.
Thanks. See you, sucker! Hey, Ryan. I took your sword to the Renaissance Festival. It's not so much fun by myself.
How'd you get there so fast without a car?
It's just right next door here.
Oh, that's convenient.
Yeah, want to walk over with me?
Yeah, sure. Can I get my sword back?
See you, sucker!
Oh, no, that's just rude.
I only went next door. I'm right here still.
Oh, we should have stopped at 50.